Jesus in the news. You and I have been in Palestine almost 2,000 years ago. You'd have found the news media back then would have been buzzing with reports going here and there and everywhere about Jesus of Nazareth. When he was on earth, our Lord Jesus was always in the news. The first announcement about him came from a choir of angels of those Judean hills, and they cried out to the shepherds, "We have good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." At the end of our Lord's earthly life, the government agencies coming along and they're busy bribing some of the people there to spin the news, or rather to fabricate or falsify their testimony to deny that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. But his departure from that borrowed tomb could not be hidden. No scribe could be put over it. And Christ appeared to hundreds of witnesses to prove that he had risen from the dead. What news that was. During the crowded years in between, something sensational was always happening wherever Jesus was, and the people all about him would broadcast the news to every part of the country. I read in Mark 1 in the verse 45 of a man who had been healed by Jesus. He went out and began to publish it much and to please abroad the matter. Matthew 9:31 about others who spread abroad his fame in all that country. Then in Mark 1, verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Or to come closer to home and closer in time, if you and I, never mind 2,000 years ago, if you and I had been in this city, or any of the times or the villages of our country back in 1859, the year of grace, the time of the Ulster Revival, we would have found Jesus in the news back then. Part of a letter published in the Belfast Newsletter in 1859 said, "We ourselves have seen troops of militaries walking around their roads, singing hymns and psalms." And one of the hymns that those little girls would have been singing back then was, "What's the news?" Going down through the streets, this music would have sounded out, "The Lord has pardoned all my sin." That's the news. I feel the witness nigh within. That's the news. And since he took my guilt away and taught me how to watch and pray, I'm happy now from day to day. That's the news. And as that revival went on in 1859, before it was over, about 100,000 new converts would have been joining together and singing this song from personal experience. They had received new life through Jesus Christ. Jesus was certainly in the news back then. And our Lord Jesus is still in the news today. One design of our Consider Christ campaign is to put Christ back in the news. That's why we put up banners and billboards around the country and placed 1,000 adverts on buses, set up a website, www.considerchrist.info, are in the process as well of putting around 1 million pieces of gospel literature into every home in the province of Ulster. Why? So that Christ Jesus might be brought to the attention of people again. And each one of these billboards and advertising pieces carries a message to the mind, and we trust to the heart as well, in a world without direction, without certainty, without hope. Consider Christ. He is the only Saviour, now and forever. Through him alone, God is revealed and heaven is reached. As we meet here in this building tonight, it's very consoling to think that Jesus Christ is no mere mouldering memory. Jesus Christ is alive. He's the most powerful personality in the world, a risen, loving, breathing person of immeasurable power, and because he lives, this means the gospel that tells of him isn't just a record of acts in the historic past, although it's that, it's also the soul-stirring announcement of what Christ can do and what he is doing at this moment in time. The gospel is good news. But why is the gospel good news? It's good news because of its content. Dr. John Bailey tells the story about a little girl who was in the habit of listening into the radio, and then, after she'd been to church for the very first time in her life, she said, as she went out, that I liked the music better than the news. Obviously, she preferred the singing to the sermon. What's changed? What she said about the sermon that day might have been fair enough. But she was certainly clued in when she spoke about the gospel as being news. For that's exactly what it is. Fresh and palpitating and heartwarming news. For one thing, it's Christ's good news about God. Some of our literature we consider Christ champion carries the statement, through Christ alone, God is revealed, and heaven is reached. Our Lord Jesus himself said in John 1 and the verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, he hath declared him. Man has always had his own opinions and notions about God. Some people come along and think that God is only a being of anger and wrath and nothing else, and their view of God is a bit oppressive, savage, angry dictator. God is angry about sin and justifiably so as well. Others see God as a kind of a mysterious being, and he has played, I'm sure they will say, some unidentified part of the world in bringing it into existence, and they're talking always about the man of God, but they never get any higher than that. But the God whom Jesus revealed was neither a terrifying monster nor some kind of a big abstraction, but he was a kind and a loving and a merciful Father. Our Lord Jesus said, your Father also is merciful. And that mercy is most clearly seen at Calvary, where the Father sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. We often sing, mercy, there was great. And grace, it was free. Pardon, there was multiplied to me. There at Calvary, my burdened soul found liberty. And that's good news. The gospel brings before us a God who is full of mercy, who sets his great love upon us, who sent his own Son to be our Savior, who keeps everyone whom Jesus saves for all eternity. The gospel is Christ's good news about God. The gospel is also Christ's good news about sin. Think about it. Our news channels today, be it on television, radio, magazines, we read the newspapers, we pick up, are almost always churning out more news about sin. About all the bad things that are going on, the muggings and robberies and all the terrible things that are happening in the world, and it fills the press. When did you last hear a heartwarming story? Some really encouraging news? Something that lifted you up? Got your heart really excited? All that kind of news tends to get swamped. But the gospel is Christ's good news about sin. I heard an interesting story about a great Scottish minister, Rabbi Duncan. That's what he called him. Somebody met him one day and he was sliding down Princes Street in Edinburgh, and his head was held high and his legs were moving out as though he were marching in tune to some kind of unheard music. If he saw him today, he'd probably have an iPod, and therefore it'd be music heard by him, not by you. But I was going there, and he said, "Dear me, Mr. Duncan, you must have had big news today." "News," cried that preacher. "News? Wonderful news. The best of all news. The blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from all sin." This is definitely the best news of all. The news that a living Christ can bring the most wonderful, life-changing power that belongs to him to every person who calls upon his name. Those little girls continued singing. "The Lamb was slain on Calvary." That's the news. To set a world of sinners free. That's the news. For us he bowed his sacred head. For us his precious blood was shed. And now he's risen from the dead. That's the news. However, the gospel isn't only Christ's good news regarding God. He is merciful. Or his good news regarding sin. It can't be taken away. It's also Christ's good news regarding eternity. Not many people want to talk about eternity. Paul, the apostle, wrote about it. In 2 Timothy 1 and 10, Christ, he said, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And he said there is life here in Christ. There is life hereafter in Christ as well. In fact, eternal immortal life can't be found anywhere outside of Jesus Christ. And so we're saying in a world without hope, Jesus is the light. As he traveled by train to a preaching engagement, the minister sat down in a carriage of little people who were engrossed that day in reading the morning's edition of the News of the World. Before long, the minister produced his Bible and began to read himself, and that attracted attention. All the wee sneaky glances began to be directed in the minister's path. So he set the book down and he quietly surveyed all the fellow travellers in the train. "Ladies and gentlemen," he said at last, "I see you're all keenly interested in the news of the world, and no doubt you find it most illuminating, but I have something better still." He picked up his Bible. "Here in this book," he said, "I have far more than you have in your paper. You have the news of the world, but I have the news of the world to come." He was right. Within the covers of this Bible, the Book of God, we have the one and only absolutely trustworthy source of truth about the future. In its pages, the only way to heaven is revealed. The text of Scripture predominates our considered Christ's campaign. John 14 in verse 6 is that text. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. Because of its content, we pray you'll hear it. You'll receive it today. There are, of course, other reasons why the gospel is good news. It's good news because of its circumference, its reach, the scope. The appeal of this good news is as wide as the whosoever will who's in focus in Revelation 22:17, and it's as long as human history. We don't see many of them today. When you do see them, they're probably on wantsandoffers.com or something like that. We can buy them at a hefty price, put them in your garden if you really want to. I'm talking about the old red telephone boxes. In the day when they were a new invention, the poet went into one of them and picked up the receiver, and as he did, a flash of inspiration, as it happens to poets, came to him, and he later sat down and penned these lines. The moving parts here wait our call. All naked to our distant speed, I wish that I could ring them all and have some welcome news for each. Pretty neat thought. He wants to ring everybody and tell them all in excited tones of peace, of wonderful news, something that would encourage them, something that would cheer their hearts, something that would lift their spirits. As far as he was concerned, it's good to talk. I can't help think that B-Team would have had a field day with a guy like that. And every other phone company out there, Talk and Free and Allings and all the rest, they'd be ringing him up and they'd be trying to tie him down to the long-term contract. Good money out of this thing. He wants to phone everybody. Now this is exactly how the gospel operates. It puts a person in living touch with the world. Gives them something worthwhile to communicate. Gives the man and woman a burning message for mankind around. Makes them think and makes them act along the lines of that old hymn, "Oh, for a trumpet voice on all the world to call." The gospel has a word for the world. For every nation under heaven, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He didn't give us any other formula. He didn't tell us to stage anything else. But in all that we would do to make preaching Jesus Christ simple. Quite interesting to note that the word news is made up of the first letters of the four points of the compass: north, east, west, south. News. The regional values for our considered Christ are here spread in a diamond sort of sheet around the country tonight. You're reading in the north, Londonderry. Over in the east, there's a rally in Belfast, in the west, and then a skill tonight in the south, down in Armagh. Next week, the 2nd of October, the diamond-shaped titans in Oklahoma, and in the north, Alamina, and in the east, Lisburn, west, Dungannon, down in the south, Newry. The gospel news is spreading across the land. And wherever this message of the grace of God goes, it seems, and heals, and helps, and challenges, and touches men's lives. What a wonderful thing it is. I love that text in the Bible in Luke 13:29. Pictures those who are coming through life into the world hereafter, approaching heaven. They shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. What a day that will be when every point of the compass with those saints of God go marching in. The gospel appeal is as wide as the world. It has also been as long as Christian history. Lady Diana's dead is an historical fact now. It's no longer news. But just over 12 years ago, on the 31st of August, 1997, it was the most sensational and tragic news anybody anywhere had to talk about. And at that time, the announcement, "Diana's dead," came with the force of an electric shock to everyone who heard it. Today it lies as a cold fact at our feet. Everybody knows it has happened. Here's the extraordinary thing. The gospel that ultimately is a record of the death of Jesus Christ, an event that must be known almost 200 times more removed from us in space of time than the passing of that famous princess, this gospel never grows stale, never becomes irrelevant. It's always right up to date, always contemporary, always brilliantly relevant to the needs of modern man. And that's why today we are still proclaiming the message, consider Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. What gives the gospel this continual freshness? It's because in every age, Christ is alive to bring his cross work before the eyes of men and women and children and apply it to their hearts. It's the living Christ that gives us a living gospel. And this gospel is good news for man and good news forever, because Jesus rose and Jesus reigns. Good news because of its content. Because of its circumference, who it brings in. Gospel, finally and briefly, is good news because of its conversion. What a difference. Oh, what a difference, the little hymn says, since Jesus passed by. What a difference the good news makes in the life of the person who really believes. This good news of the grace of God, transformed in Bible days, saw Tarsus from being a ruthless persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ into a revivalist preacher. He went here and there and everywhere preaching the good news, getting it out so that everyone on all the continents would hear the message. This good news of the grace of God transformed John Bunyan from being a foul-mouthed person to being the author of that timeless classic, The Pilgrim's Progress. That book, in companionship with the Bible, has helped many a weary Christian traveler on their way home to heaven. This good news of God's grace transformed John Newton from the slave to into the nervous evangelist whose only desire was to get out there and deliver man and woman from slavery to sin and to the devil. Newton, by the way, was actually converted on his way towards this city, coming towards this world. The first church he attended as a converted man was St. Columb's Cathedral within the walls of our city. Conversion in 1859, right up to 100,000 conversions to Jesus Christ. This is what the good news can do for you. The truth is just as those little girls back in 1859 with all sinned, and Jesus Christ can save you too. That's the news. Your sinful heart, he can renew. That's the news. This moment, if for sin you grieve, this moment, if you do believe, a ready pardon you'll receive. That's the news. You can have the joy, the salvation, the forgiveness, the direction, the certainty, the life that comes through this good news by calling upon Christ in thee and in repentance tonight. In a world without direction, Jesus is the way. In a world without certainty, and who's certain about anything now? You can be certain of this. Jesus is the truth. In a world without hope, very lives were shattered, developing cracks falling apart in a world without hope. Jesus is the life. This is the good news, and we pray you receive it wholeheartedly tonight. Thank you, Christ.